Welcome to It Just Makes Sense,
a podcast by two easily distracted, higher educated, former lovers
that explores all of the unpopular opinions, conspiracy theories, and cult leaders that make you want to scream,
It Just Makes Sense.
I'm Sam Smith.
I'm Jeff Seifer.
And on this episode, we're covering People Magazine Investigates What Happened to Baby Lisa.
Who?
You don't remember this story?
No.
I remember it when it was happening. It was like all over the news. Where's Baby Lisa?
Is this the one that fell down the well?
No. Good one, though. But this is not. That was like... Who, Jane? No. Who fell down the well? I'm looking it up.
Who? Yeah, I don't know. What happened to Baby Lisa?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Miles and I were watching TV last night, side note, and... I completely forgot that there was another Peterson murder case.
Yeah.
And it was Drew Peterson and Stacy Peterson. Yes. I completely forgot that the wife's name was Stacy. And I'm like, no, this is Lacey. They're wrong. And I'm like, wow, I'm high and this is
but
not
like
right.
Also crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Borderline might be crazier.
Borderline? Yeah. But I just mean like the fact that the names are so similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're outside Kansas City, Missouri, a place I'd like to visit.
Home of the Chiefs.
We're gracing the home of Debbie and Jeremy Irwin with their two young sons.
Crikey!
I can't. Then, in 2010, they welcome a little girl into their family. They were so excited they finally had the baby girl they always wanted. Also, I like hate when people say that whenever they have sons. Like, this is the daughter we always wanted. It's like, okay, what about your poor sons?
Oh, I know. Like, if they had other kids.
Yeah.
I know.
Or, like, if they have a family of girls and then they have a boy and they're like, someone to carry on the family legacy. It's like, your daughters can't do that?
Sure can't.
Wow.
Not in the United States of America.
Anyways, they named the baby Lisa after Debbie's mother, but they always called her pumpkin pie.
Interesting.
Because she was so sweet, they never called her Lisa. They like only called her pumpkin pie. Kind of like pumpkin from
Flavor of Love.
No.
Oh no, I Love New York.
I was thinking from whatchamacallit, the beauty pageant show with
The movie?
No.
Oh. So many pumpkins.
I know. No, Mama June. Honey Boo Boo. Her sister's name's Pumpkin.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking pumpkin from Flavor of Love.
I mean, the best
I Love
pumpkin.
New York.
The I'm, best pumpkin.
I mean, the best worst pumpkin.
Yes. Yeah. The family just adored everything about baby Lisa. But then on October 3rd, 2011, it's a Friday, and it starts out just like any other day. Debbie is home with the baby and the two boys, and Jeremy is working after hours. Debbie was just hanging out of the house. She put Lisa down for bed, and the boys were getting ready to watch a movie. Since Jeremy never works late, Debbie was nervous to be alone, so she invited her neighbor over to hang out, like on the back porch. The family needed overtime pay for the project that Jeremy was working on, but Debbie hated when he was gone.
Let's put a pause right
okay.
here. She's afraid to be alone?
Could never be me. I think a lot of people are like that, though. They get anxious.
Really?
Because I think when you have kids and it's like overnight and you're like nervous, what if someone breaks in, what if something happens?
Yeah, but it's not like it was their first kid.
I don't know. What do you want from me? Some people have anxiety.
I don't understand those people.
No. So while the boys were watching a movie and Lisa was sleeping, Debbie and the neighbor were sitting outside on the porch having some coffee, and they would check in on the kids every once in a while. Eventually, the boys said that they were getting tired and wanted to go to bed.
Coffee? At that hour?
That's what I'm saying. So Debbie decided to call it a night and come on inside, and the neighbor went home. It was around 10:30 at night. Everyone at this point is in their bed and sleeping away. After working a double shift, Jeremy finally returns home. The job took longer than anticipated, so he didn't get home till around like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. When he got home, he noticed the front door was unlocked, which he thought was super weird.
Interesting.
Like, why? That never happens. Why wasn't the door locked? He also noticed that there were quite a few lights left on, which he thought was weird too. He went into his bedroom and saw his wife and one of his sons in bed together sleeping. He went down to the other end of the hallway and saw his other son tucked in. Jeremy then went to Lisa's room, and that's when he saw that she was not in her crib. And she was like, where is she? Okay. He runs to wake up Debbie. He shakes her awake and just keeps saying, the baby's not in her crib. The baby's not in her crib. And Debbie's just like, what are you talking about? She's in her crib. Like, I left her there. That's the last I saw of her.
Yeah.
She jumped out of the bed and started running around the house looking for Debbie. Sorry, looking for Lisa. This was Debbie's worst nightmare, waking up and not seeing her daughter in her crib. Jeremy ran outside to check outside the house. He grabbed a flashlight while Debbie stayed inside with the boys. Jeremy also went to the neighbor's house to see if maybe they had baby Lisa or if they saw something. Like, did they hear anything? Did they see someone come into their house?
Why would they have the baby?
When they were searching the house, they found a partially open window screen. Like, the windows had been opened a lot in their house, but for the screen to be pushed in was weird. Like, they had their windows open, but they'd have a screen there.
Yeah, for
sure.
The
screen was pushed up and out. So, like, that's weird.
Up and out.
Like, you, like,
yeah, like somebody pushed it out, like they.
So they could come in the house.
Oh, so up and in.
Yeah, up and in. Sorry, that's what I meant. Jeremy ran to call the cops and all their cell phones were gone. They keep them charging all in one place at night and none of them were there anymore. But he had his business cell phone with him, so he called 911 using that. He was hoping by the time the police showed up, they would have found Lisa and they'd look like idiots for losing their kid in their own house. The police seal the area right away and escalate the search, but they can't find Lisa anywhere. It was clear someone had broken into their home and taken their baby. At least that's what it seemed like. It was every parent's worst nightmare. But now the clock is ticking. They had to find Lisa. Police immediately start canvassing the neighborhood, talking to witnesses, anyone who may have seen anything. But 3 hours go by without any sign of baby Lisa or any witnesses. It's all over the local media now. There was an all-points bulletin. The National Guard was called in. Thousands of volunteers showed up to search the county, the nearby lake, everywhere. 24 hours go by with no signs of the baby. You don't remember this at all?
At all.
I literally remember the headlines everywhere being like, where's baby Lisa? What happened to baby Lisa?
I don't remember this.
Really?
Even it's not ringing even a little bit of a bell.
Oh, my God. I remember.
What year was this again?
This was in 2011.
Huh. Not even that long
ago. So it's like when we were getting out of grad school.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Pretty blacked out for those years. Yep. I get it.
The police leave the house and Jeremy and Debbie hold a press conference asking for any leads, pleading for any information. They even say, just drop baby Lisa off. No questions, nothing. They just want her back home. But with no leads, the police look back to the Irwins. They want a search warrant for the house. And obviously the investigation starts with the family. They took their computers, rugs from the baby's room. They took everything. Jeremy and Debbie didn't care. If it meant it would help find her, they said, take whatever you want. They went and talked to the police and answered all of their questions. But then the police asked for an interview with the two young boys, Lisa's brothers, alone. And the Irwins agree without any hesitation. The first time they interrogated Debbie, it was about 12 hours long, and she felt totally helpless. Right away, she could tell the police thought that she did something to Lisa. And Debbie was like, if they think that I did something to her, they're going to stop looking for her. Like, she was terrified that they would just, like, focus so much on her and that her daughter was then never going to be found.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was the one in charge. Of course they would first look at her.
Right. The detectives are trying to find out how someone got into the house and took Lisa and the cell phones without
detection. That's weird that they took like, all the cell phones. Like, how they
get in, right? Yeah. Jeremy just kept saying that the window was broken and pushed through. The front door was unlocked. That's all they know.
Yeah, but how do they know where all the cell phones were without waking anybody up?
Right. Or how did they know Jeremy wasn't going to be there that night?
Mm-hmm. Was it the neighbor?
I don't know.
Was it Lisa?
I don't know.
Was it one of the kids?
I don't know.
I know.
I don't know if they came in through the window or the door. I don't know, but it happened. That's like what Jeremy was saying. It's like, I'm not trying to tell you how someone did it. I'm just trying to tell you what I found. Eventually, authorities were able to confirm Jeremy's alibi that he was working during the time frame that baby Lisa disappeared. But they didn't have any type of alibi on Debbie. Following up on Jeremy's insistence that someone tampered with the window, the police went to give it a second look. The police try to enter into the house through the window, but they discovered the window was so high up off the ground that it made it so much more difficult to enter and leave undetected. They also said that the dust on the windowsill was undisturbed, mm-hmm. and that would have made it impossible to get in and out without disturbing
Sounds like
them.
It was a staged crime scene like to me. Sounds like a staged crime scene.
The window was not the way that the intruder came into the home. Despite Jeremy also saying that the front door was unlocked when he got home, the police had a hard time believing there was even an intruder.
This kind of reminds me, I don't know why, of that one case that we did where you're like, and the Diet Pepsi. Remember what I was talking about?
No.
I was like, what? Tell me more. I don't know why I just thought of that. Sorry.
And when did it, wait, I don't remember this at all.
The Diet Pepsi and the ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. And it had like nothing
to nothing do with it.
Like, wait. Because the more the police dug into Debbie's story, the more they realized she's not telling the complete truth.
Debbie.
Dun, dun, dun. Lisa's been missing for 16 days at this point. And Debbie's the police's number one suspect. They questioned Debbie over and over again, and the story begins to change more and more each time she told it. Initially, she just had one or two glasses of wine with a friend.
I thought it was coffee, Deb.
She put her kids to bed, and then she went to bed herself.
Was it crack?
But then the retelling of the story, the few glasses of wine became five glasses of wine. And then she said maybe it was more like 8 to 10 glasses.
Stop. She was blackout.
8 to 10 glasses of wine.
So that's two bottles.
In like a 3-hour sitting.
That's like a 2.5 bottles for her alone.
Right. She said she had checked on Lisa around 10:30 p.m. But then she finally admitted that she passed out around 10:30 p.m. That the evening was a blur, and the last time she actually seen Lisa was closer to 6:30 p.m.
Okay. I'm not judging, but I'm judging. Why would you lie, Lisa?
Why? Yeah, like, why? Yeah, Debbie, why would you lie?
Oh, yeah, baby Lisa. Why would you lie, Deb?
Right? There was just so many inconsistencies in the story. Was she telling them everything, or can she even remember what happened that night?
Probably not.
She doesn't remember.
I mean, I wouldn't remember after 2.5 bottles of Cabernet.
Debbie says now going back, she would have chosen not to drink. Maybe if she hadn't, she may have heard someone come in. Maybe she could have stopped them from taking her. It's hard on her now to not blame herself. But like also, okay, here's what I, if you knew that your wife had that many glasses of wine while she was alone at home with the kids, would
pissed.
You be mad?
Furious.
Like I feel like it would take me a while to get over
I would be very angry.
Yeah.
Because like not only did it happen with a baby? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't mean to be a dick as someone right. who recovered, like, but like, yeah. that's a lot.
Right.
Like, I can understand four glasses.
That's what I mean.
That is yeah. even a little
four
bit.
Four or five much. Glasses, yeah. like whatever.
But with that many kids?
That's what I mean.
8 to 10?
No. Like, if I ever babysit my niece and nephew, which isn't often, but if I do, I am not drinking at all.
You're not
drinking? Terrified. No.
We're not, especially not drinking 8 to 10 glasses
no.
of wine.
No. I fell asleep when they were here babysitting. I had nothing in my system. They had to put me to bed.
Well, you're a sleepy little Gus over there.
I'm a sleepy little bitch. They had to tuck me in and put themselves to bed.
Night-night, Aunt Sam.
Night-night. I can't. So Debbie offers to take a lie detector test. When it was over.
Junk science. Sorry, like, I'm a little slow with that
one
today,
kids. I do think this is a little harsh, but like whatever. When it was over, the FBI agent says, I think that you're a terrible mother and that you're lying and you failed.
I
like,
love that.
To say that?
That sounds like something I would say.
But the police were lying. They told her that she failed the polygraph to try to get her to confess.
Yeah, but who cares? It's junk science.
I know, right? But Debbie refuses to admit something she didn't do and demands a lawyer. And of course, the police.
Smartest thing you did, Deb.
Right? But the police go to the public and are like, the parents refuse to help law enforcement any further, which says a lot about them.
What? That's some gaslighting.
Like, here's the thing, too. Obviously, Debbie made a mistake. She had a little too much to drink. But that doesn't necessarily mean that she did anything to her daughter.
I agree.
And if she really didn't, like.
But that's not the question you asked me. You asked me if I would be, if I was the husband, if I'd
I
be
know.
Mad.
Yeah, that's what I am. But now the police say to the public, the parents are the best source to help find this child. And now that's gone
mm-hmm.
because they're lawyered up. There's still no signs of Lisa. And the police now suspect that she's no longer alive. They bring a cadaver dog to search through Jeremy and Debbie's house. The cadaver dog had a in a spot right by the parents' bed. The police made a suggestion to the public that this may implicate Debbie in not only the disappearance, but the death of Lisa.
Okay, maybe I don't know enough about cadaver dogs. Like, can they only smell dead bodies?
But they said a dirty diaper could cause a false positive. Yeah, that's when what it I'm comes saying. To infant cadavers.
Like, babies, like, get their fluids all over the place. So like, how would that even...
And why are they saying something to the public about it when, like... That seems kind of wild to me.
Awfully gossipy, FBI.
So now the community is starting to become suspicious of the parents and questioning what the parents have to say. The first night that Jeremy has to work late, all of a sudden the baby is up and missing. Three cell phones sitting on the counter, and now they're missing too. Like, that was the first time I realized, like, this is the first night that Jeremy's ever had to work late, and now the baby's missing. Like, is it someone they know? Is it someone that knows Jeremy's work schedule?
Was it a setup that he worked late on purpose so that they could get rid of the baby?
These factors, combined with the police reenactment of trying to get through the window and the cadaver dog hit, threw the police into focusing on the Irwins for sure. Debbie claims it was kind of a witch hunt, and people wanted to believe the worst. But this case is about to take a turn. When a new suspect comes to light.
Who?
Lisa has been missing for a month now. I feel like they've done so much in a month.
Yeah.
And then they get a new tip. Two reported sightings of a man with a baby in the area and a surveillance video of a man walking out of the woods around 2:15 the night that Lisa disappeared. The first sighting is around midnight, and it was with a husband and a wife. The husband worked the midnight shift, and as he was driving down the road, he saw a man walking down the street with a baby in his arms, and he thought it was weird because the baby was not dressed for the weather.
At midnight?
It was just, like, in a diaper. He was so disturbed by this, he called his wife and said, "Sweetheart, make sure to lock the doors and the windows." But he didn't think to, like, call the police and report it. He just called his wife and was like, "Make sure to lock the doors and windows. There's a weird guy out here with a baby."
But, like, wouldn't call the police.
No, probably.
If you saw a person at midnight with a baby, you wouldn't call the police.
No. I guess, like, I need to know. Wait, hold on. I do know. I need to know. It happened in October of 2011. So if the baby was just, like.
I don't care if it was December 30th. Yeah. You would not call the police. If you saw a person walking down the street at midnight with a baby, you wouldn't call the police.
Yeah, it's true.
And neither would I.
Yeah.
Unless you somehow recognized that person and you knew that they didn't have a baby. But I don't think you would even then.
But then.
I think you might stop and be like, put some clothes on that baby, dummy.
Another suspicious thing happened.
What?
On the evening that Lisa went missing, the police get a report that a fire had been started in a dumpster down the street from the Irwins' home. And the police did find baby clothes in the dumpster. And then just a mile from the Irwin home, there's a gas station that has a video camera on the outside. And it caught someone walking out of the woods at 2:15 the morning that Lisa disappeared. It appeared to be a white male, but that's all it was. Just a guy walking out of the woods.
Okay.
I mean, that's suspicious, but like, what does that mean?
Doesn't mean much. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Then around 4 a.m., a man was driving home on his motorcycle and saw a man walking down the road with a baby in his arms and gave the same description that the neighbors had seen around midnight, like that husband and wife. He had pulled over and said to the guy, "Do you need a ride? Can I call someone for you? The baby needs a blanket." But he said the guy just shook his head no, and they both just went on their way. So at least he like tried to help. It was about a month later that the guy in the motorcycle realized that a baby's missing and calls the police to tell him what he saw. He 100% believes that it was baby Lisa. He said the whole thing was just so strange to him that he knew it had to be her. Like, why would a guy at 4 a.m. be walking around with like a diapered baby in his arms?
I don't know, man. Like, I just don't. I know that I wouldn't pull over. I know I wouldn't call the police.
No, I agree.
I'd be like, hey, that's strange.
The guy pulled over and said anything and even said, like, do you need a ride? You need a blanket? And if the guy said no, he's like, okay, fine. But I think it was strange enough that he remembers it. And so, like,
I think I might remember something.
That's what I mean.
Especially if you stopped.
But, like, what do you think? That is strange for a man to have a baby
at 4 a.m.
At 4 a.m., like, walking along the side of the highway.
Oh, the highway?
I don't know. It's a street.
A highway is quite different than just a street. But yeah, 4 a.m. with a baby. Okay, then I would think it was weird. Right. For sure.
Yeah.
I still don't know that I would say anything.
Especially if the baby's not crying. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
So the police start looking through the surrounding areas again and re-questioning people in the area if they had seen anything. People were pointing fingers at John Tanco, known as Jersey.
Okay.
He's a lifelong criminal, a meth addict, and is a drifter in the area that everyone knows.
So he just steals babies?
Unknown. The police know him because he would break into homes where people had a second vacation home and live there or steal from there to get money for drugs.
I just think it's an awfully big jump from meth to stealing babies.
Neighbors would call on him all the time for break-ins. He was known for breaking into homes through a window. Jersey had a rough reputation, and he seemed to fit the description of the three witnesses saying that they saw someone carrying Lisa in a diaper that night. Well, okay. A baby in a diaper that night. So the police knew it was around 11:30 that night that she went missing. And people placed Jersey down the road from the Earn residence earlier that night. So he was spotted down the road from their house that night. Are you paying attention to me?
I am. I'm slightly distracted by this royal rumble over here.
Sorry, my animals are fighting. The police knew it was around 11:30 that Lisa went missing, and police placed Jersey down the road from the Irwin residence earlier that night. The defense believes that when Jersey didn't see Jeremy's work vehicle in the driveway, he saw it as an easy target to steal from the family. The front door was open, so Jersey just walked right through, and Debbie was too drunk to wake up. But why would he take the baby?
Yeah.
That part is unknown.
Steal the phones.
They believe he took the phones and the baby, but ultimately, this is just a theory. But the night that Lisa went missing, there was a phone call made by one of the Irwin family phones.
How did he get into it?
Debbie and Jeremy claimed that all three of the family cell phones went missing. The night Lisa went missing, one of the cell phones was used to try to place a call to a woman named Megan. Megan Wright was the on-again, off-again girlfriend of Jersey Tanco.
Oh.
Megan was questioned, and authorities told her a phone call was made to her phone from one of the cell phones stolen from the Irwin family. Megan Wright's number had never been received or dialed out from one of those phones before that night. When they found Megan Wright, they showed her the telephone numbers for the Irwin family, and she said she had no idea, like, who those numbers were. Then Megan told police that she had told Jersey that she always wanted to be a mother, that having a child is something she always dreamed about. About the same time, Megan was trying to separate herself from Jersey. There were some people that believed that in order to get Megan back, he stole the baby for her.
Oh.
Evidence is mounting against him. That phone call alone.
How did
he have the phone?
How did you have the phone?
He's also a known pyromaniac. So did he burn Lisa's clothes in the dumpster to destroy the evidence? Is that why the baby was just in a diaper when people saw him walking at night? If you didn't want the baby to be identified, it made sense to dump the clothes. The police find Jersey in the outskirts of Kansas City. They arrest him on outstanding warrants and bring him in. But he denies everything and demands a lawyer. The police bring in witnesses bring in the people who claim they saw that man with a baby. One witness says, yes, that's the man I saw. But another witness says, no, that is not the man that we saw.
Really?
Jersey says it was not him, and they have no physical evidence tying him to the disappearance, and they have to release him. And the tips just start to slow to a trickle. The police have to move on to other cases, and the case starts to go cold. But then, 3 years after baby Lisa went missing, close to her third birthday, the police get another lead. Over the years, there had been several sightings of Lisa, and the Irwins would get excited, but would never turn out to be her. But then the police hear from Interpol that there is a small child in a quote-unquote, I didn't say this, they did, gypsy camp. I know.
We don't use that term.
I didn't say
on this podcast.
In Greece, that the police believe that the child had been abducted from somewhere else. Is this the clue that is going to bring baby Lisa back home? Jeremy and Debbie grab on this and believe it's baby Lisa and want the police to look into this. Well, you know how they do, like, this is what Lisa would look like if she was 3 years old today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I will say that picture and the picture of an abducted girl look very similar.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So the Irwins immediately contact the National Center for the Missing and Exploited Children, and the FBI get the ball rolling. They ship over the DNA to be tested, and the Greek authority immediately take the girl into custody and bring her in for DNA testing. What do you think?
Not her.
No match.
Yeah.
But it did turn out.
What?
That she had been abducted, so she was returned home to her parents.
Really?
It's not the Irwins.
How sad. So while the Irwins' heart
was broken, it wasn't her, it did give them some hope that one day it will be Lisa's turn. So she's like, they're like, this daughter was abducted. Ours could still be out there.
All right, all right.
They believe that Lisa is alive until someone proves them otherwise. It's still a mystery to this day. Was Jersey to blame? Is Debbie involved?
Oh, really? They never found her?
They never found her.
Oh.
A lot of people on Reddit believe that what happened was Debbie did get drunk that night and she brought baby Lisa into bed with her.
She killed her.
And accidentally rolled out over her and suffocated her.
Oh.
That's why the cadaver dogs were able to like smell close to the bed, and they believe that she like got rid of the body before her husband got home.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Is this the one that they think? No, it couldn't be. Never mind. Wasn't there like some
this Jersey guy did something?
Wasn't there some wild theory that Katy Perry was some was?
It was JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Huh. Yeah, I don't remember this case at all.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy? And they never.
Why?
That's why they said like it was such a big case because it was like every parent's worst nightmare. Yeah. Your daughter's just gone in the middle of the night. And there's no trace of her.
Yeah, I definitely think it has something to do with Jersey because, like, the phone call.
Right. And my thing is like, now, could you imagine if, like, the mother really had nothing to do with it and the whole world thinks that it's, like, you got drunk and now your daughter's dead. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you were involved.
Are they divorced?
I don't think so.
Huh.
No, they're not. They were on the show together.
Interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Wild.
So anyways, let us know what you think happened to baby Lisa.
Where's baby Lisa?
Where's baby Lisa? All right, guys. You can follow us on It Just Makes Sense podcast. You can follow me at Sam Smith Says.
You can follow me at 1F and Jeff.
Thanks.
Bye.